I'm afraid because I know when the 5, 6, 7, 8 comes and the lights are there and the action and the audience and you have to open your mouth and it has to be there. And that pressure, I'm like, if we put the big note at the end of the Defying Gravity as the goal, it has to be scored every night. Mm-hmm. Every single night. It has to be, because the second that you don't score it.
So take us back to the beginning. Where did it start?
I started watching Michael Jackson at the age of 4. And I remember watching the tapes like over and over and over. And I remember saying to my mom, I was like pointing at the stage and going like, this is what I want to do.
Introducing Johnny Bishop, from a dream of being in The Lion King as a kid to starring in some of the biggest West End shows like Moulin Rouge, Hamilton, and In the Heights, and has appeared on film in The Little Mermaid and Mary Poppins Returns.
I think there is definitely something about being on stage. I know that something comes alive. It's almost like you're like soaring. You just, the thing opens up and you're there. I think I also have this thing in my mind where it's possible. If they can do it, I can do it. Because they're not an alien, they're human. I remember the things open and the audience were just like, they just went wild. So I'm in this pose like this and I'm like, oh my Jesus. Like, I just hope that I hit this note.
Hello and welcome to the 5 Minute Call. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into the stories of the people that make theatre happen. Today, we are talking to Johnny Bishop. Johnny has been in the original London cast of Moulin Rouge, the original London cast of Hamilton, In the Heights, and The Lion King.
Johnny's also appeared on film in The Little Mermaid and Mary Poppins Returns.
So, we're very interested in your story, and we know you didn't start in London.
Yes, that's right.
So take us back to the beginning. Where does it start?
The beginning. In the beginning. Once upon a time. So I grew up in Trinidad until I was 10 and I moved here to London at 10. I started watching Michael Jackson at the age of 4. But just before that, actually, I really loved the Spice Girls and my parents were like, we need to get him like a guy that he could like look at. So my mom was like, she said to my dad, she was like, please, can you get like some videotapes or whatever? So he went and got Michael Jackson. And then I was like, wow. And I remember watching the TV like over and over and over. I just used to play his tapes like over and over and over. The Motown performance, Motown 25, which he was doing Billie Jean. And then eventually I got all the costumes and everything. I had like the sparkly jacket, the sparkly socks. Like, I've been full out from a very young age, always doing the most. And it's all on like my request. I want this, I want that, I want this. Basically, I took part in a competition called 12 and Under, which is for basically kids who want to perform. And the funny story is my mom, when she was younger, she performed on it. So once they saw that I was like sort of getting into this, they were like, great. My grandmother was like, oh, take him on this show. So my mom was like, okay, fine. We'll dress you up. We'll rehearse you. And my mom was like my choreographer, even though she's not like a choreographer or dancer, but she used to watch me and she'd be like, you keep doing the same moves. You have to do more than this. And also Michael in that Motown 25 performance, he is singing as well. So he's not only dancing. I was just going to dance. So she was like, you have to do more than what he was doing. So we would sit there and she would write down the moves because this is how she would best knew to choreograph things. So she's like, okay, you're going to do a slow turn. Then you do the step, step, step. So we got that. We did that. And then I came first in the competition, which was really fun. And then I went to...
How old were you at the stage?
I was like 4 when I was practicing. Wow. And then I must have been like 6 or 7 maybe. So I came first and then I got to the finals and I think I came 2nd or something like that. And then from that point onwards, I think they were like, oh, this is good for you. Let's sort of, push you in this and see if we can support you. So then a show from London called Carnival Messiah came to Trinidad and the lady that produced it, she lived in Leeds, but she was a Trinidadian. So when she came, she brought some people from Leeds and then she also hired a bunch of locals. And this is where the story kind of really pushes off. I got into the show. My aunt was the costume designer on the show. So she lives over here. And she was like, I think you should, to my mom, let him come to the audition. I think the show would be great for him. So I go into the audition. I get in and basically I was just a kid running around the stage having a blast. But we would have like 10-hour rehearsals and stuff because there was a lot of people. And I would get home and be like, I want to do it again. Like, I want to go back like now, you know? So this, I loved it. And I remember saying to my mom, I was like pointing at the stage and going like, this is like what I want to do. And because there were some people from the UK that were in the show, they were like, you know what, you should audition for some schools out here in London. So, and then the thing is, my I know I'm jumping around, but it all makes, try and tie it back together. But my dad's dad is British, or was British because he passed now. But so in that way, I had like a British passport and my aunt lived here. So it was, I had like these two sort of lucky stars and sort of ways that actually it could work if I actually got in to a school. So once that show finished, Lion King came to audition and Pippa came and she was auditioning for adults. But because I was like a child performer at the time and aren't any boys doing this at that time in Trinidad. So I was probably one of like three boys. So then I get into the room somehow because they're like, you have to see him. He's a little child. He's, you know, wants to do it. And I love Lion King. That was another thing I used to watch on repeat. And so I went in dressed as Michael Jackson to a Lion King audition, which is just like, I can just imagine. It's just like, what's happening? You know, just, yeah, you know, it's just like, just doing too much from the beginning. Anyway, you know, so then I wrote Pippa is like, looking just like, what's happening? So then she tells me, okay, the next time you need to come like, you know, a bit simpler. But just, yeah. So a year goes by, she comes back, and then I end up going back to the audition. This time in like just a t-shirt, some shorts and a sandals. And then she says, she's like, you know, I guess that like they were happy with what I was doing, but you can't get it from here. We can take adults from here, but we can't take kids. So you should really go to this school, Sylvia Young, she recommended. I think it was that and maybe another school. And you need to be on an agency in London. And so it took like a couple of years sort of me begging my parents. I was like, you guys are holding me back. Like, I want to go. And they're like, what do we do with this child? Like, what's happening? And I have an older brother, brilliant, you know, like typical, but he's so like, he's intelligent. He has the brains and then very sporty. So football and all these things. And I told my mom, I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do the sports. I don't want to do the football and the thing. And this is what I want to do. So eventually they were like, okay. She started calling around. We got the audition for Sylvia's. In Trinidad, we have primary school. Mm-hmm. And then we have standard one, standard two, three, four, and five. And in five, you write your exam to go into secondary school. What do you guys call that? Like,
we have SATs.
SAT,
in year six, yeah.
So okay. SAT. Our one is called Common Entrance.
Okay.
So I ended up missing that because it fell on the same day as my audition for Sylvia's in London. And I remember saying, apparently, like the story goes, my mom tells me this story, that I told my brother, I saw him studying one time and he was older than me. So he was already past the SAT. He was in secondary school. And I saw him studying all the stuff and I was like, I'm not going to do that. And my mom was like, yes, you are. You're going to write the exam. And then it happened that the exact same day as my exam was my audition. So I came over, I did the audition, and then I got a recall. So I think I had to come back. And then what I did was I wrote my exam further down the line. So the teachers had to like reteach me back at Trinidad, which they weren't actually very happy about. If I had, yeah, they weren't. Yeah, because that's the other thing, you know, because I think that the culture there is very academic driven. I think at first there wasn't that much support for what I was doing. And then I think my parents got quite a bit of flack, probably from different sides. Some people were in support because they were like, oh yeah, you know, he's doing good stuff. But yeah, it was kind of a bit tricky at that point. But
huge thing for them to do.
Yeah.
Huge thing for them to support. And also kind of incredible that you knew your mind so clearly.
Mm. That's the part that, yeah, I don't know.
I knew I wanted to sing when I was eight. Like, no question. So right. I can find that in me. But I think I don't think I would have known it so clearly to go, yeah, I can leave my family and travel.
But this is it, yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
It's amazing.
Because, yeah, when I look back on that part of me. It's yeah, in some ways it is not a different identity, but it's like the child version of me was very brave, very just like, and it wasn't like proud or anything. It was just, that's what I want. Here we go. And I'm going for it. And yes, mommy, I love you. Daddy, I love you. But I need to go. That's how. And so I remember them sort of being like, oh God. So I did get into the school. And then my mom and dad were like, okay, to my aunt, can you come live with you? She's like, great, fantastic. But again, everything was a sacrifice. So my brother stayed in Trinidad. I came to live with my aunt. I lived in their living room. So it's not like a big, it's like a council flat, you know? So like, and my cousin was in the other room, and they, my aunt and uncle stayed in the other room. I lived there for many years. And I think we were always sacrificing at different levels to sort of make it work. I went to school here, and it was, I loved it. I loved it.
Tell us about life at theatre school.
At theatre school.
What's that like?
Brilliant. Some people, do you know what the thing is? Some people didn't enjoy it, but I loved it because the main thing was there were 3 days of academics and 2 days of vocational, which was just like, so you 2 days, Thursdays and Fridays, you're singing, you're dancing, you're acting. And basically, to me, it's just playing around. Like, you're just having a ball. Mm-hmm. And the first 3 days, you have to focus and be like, okay, this is like science and maths and all these different things that you just never, ever use again. I loved it. And we did this thing called cabarets, which as kids, what they would do is they would put us in like a group, a sort of select group, which again was very nice because I guess if you were working very hard and whatever, you would sort of get into this group. And we would travel around the UK doing like, well, not the UK, sometimes outside of London, doing performances at hotels. That was amazing. And we were dressed in costumes and stuff. It was whole medleys. And it's basically what is happening like in theatre and stuff. That's kind of like what we're training as kids. So it was, and some of the people that were in these cabarets are still doing it now. And we did that right through. And also I think the teachers there were amazing because, I don't know, I think the kids are quite mature, but also then we have to learn different things. So they were just always supporting us and then helping us, guiding us through, because some kids were in shows. So I did Lion King while I was at Sylvia's. So you end up missing days. And then what they used to do is they have this thing called CW1s, which I guess is like your classwork.
Mm-hmm.
And they write down what you missed so that you can always, you get it like the next day when you come in. So it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
So what advice then would you give to a young performer that is going through that same kind of journey and they're in a sort of theatre school and they're doing performing whilst also studying? And how do you actually keep up academically?
I mean, I will say that my mom was on me because I guess like academic wise, coming from that background, she's like, you have to, you know, so I think, first of all, if for the person that's doing it, if as much as you can do the work, I think in everything, if you can't, like if you're going to just put your best foot forward, that's always like, so if you're on the train, do some work then. If you're, you know, you're at rehearsal, or you're in the dressing room or something, or anywhere that you can, do the work. And then I would say if there's anybody around them that can help support them, that's also really helpful. Because up till GCSEs, like my mom was like, supporting me because like science and different things like that were very, it's not that I can't do it. I got great marks at the end of my time doing GCSEs, like really good ones. But my mom sat with me like reading through the science books because to me, I was like, I'm never going to use this. And so she sat down and she was like, we're going to read it together. And sometimes you learn differently. So if I hear something and I see it, I know it, I take it in a lot better than if I just sit in and read, you know? So I would say my advice is if the person can also find extra support, because when you're hitting the gig.
Did you take that support at the time, or did you feel like, oh God, I just don't want to be doing it?
No, I was grateful for, because I knew I was going into the exams and I wanted to. That's the other thing. I am also a bit of like, I don't want to say perfectionist because I'm letting go of that, but like I want to do, yeah, you know, oh my God, to my detriment. Yeah, no, I want to do well. You know, I don't like to not do well. So I was at school, going back even to that first question about how was that life, I was very good two-shoes at school, you know. And so even to your question, it's like, my thing was, what's the work? Nothing else. So the parties, the exploring at that age, and nothing. Didn't come till a lot later, because I think subconsciously, maybe it was probably embedded in me that I was like, a lot of sacrifices happened. So like, my folks didn't come over, you know, I came by myself to live with my aunt. I was like, I need to make this work, because I know, like, I remember one time back in Trinidad, one of the teachers, I was, before we had to get into class, we had these lines. So we'd be in the courtyard and we have to line up, and every class would go into their different, you know, rooms or whatever it is. And I was in the line, but my feet were tapping around and I was moving, and a teacher came up to me and she was like, what do you do? You know, kind of thing. And like, and then they were like, you're getting too big for your boots. That was like a couple of years before I left. You're getting too big for your boots, because I was, you know, I was seen as probably seemed fractious, or like, you know, not focused or whatever, which I was. Again, I did really well in the school, but because of my mom was like, but yeah, I was always, yeah, wanting to do other stuff. So I guess when I came here, it was just, I have to really be in and make sure that this works, because I know sometimes some of the people back at home may have been like, what are they doing? Mm. So then when I got into Lion King, I think that was like one of the sort of stamps, even from my parents, to be like, look, like, he did it, you know? I remember telling my mom, and she was like, it's almost like, I think she always believed that I could do it. But like, I think that is like a real relief for them, and almost like, oh my gosh, we really made this right choice to let this child go at this age, because this is a crazy thing, and why did we do that? And so my mom used to come up for like 6 months, and then my mom's mom would come over, because they could only stay for 6 months at a time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my grandmother would come up and like look after me, because my aunt was pretty busy all the time doing costumes and stuff. So I'd see her, of course, and she'd look after me. But so it was like the three of them. I had like three moms, basically.
So you had them, so they came on rotation, basically, because you were so young that you still
yeah.
looking after. Wow.
Yeah, so they would take me to school, or like, wow. you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so I think when I got into Lion King, it was really, that was like the, yeah, sort of stamp of like, yeah. okay. And even for myself, it's like, yeah, I knew I could do this. I knew it.
Wow. Where did it go from there? So you've done Lion King. Because everything that you're speaking about really is so passionate.
Yeah.
But also like, you know, you kind of, I think people can sort of get the impression that you commit a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's from working with you, that's very, very true. And it's really interesting now seeing from an early age.
Yeah.
Just seeing like, if you want something, you go for it. And I think that's a really great skill. But I'm curious to know the sustainability of it. Because you did mention about perfectionism and how you're trying to let that go. How does that factor in?
I mean, it's a lot. So we did Mulan together, mm-hmm. and I think you came in mm-hmm. and while we were working on auditions and stuff. I mean, it's hard. It's very hard, because I think I also have this thing in my mind where it's possible. If they can do it, I can do it. Because they're not an alien, they're human. So, which sometimes it's not really the case, you know? Do you know what I mean? Like I say, yeah. Yes, they've been given a gift, and that is theirs, and I should, and this is what I have, you know, and this is what, but. So I will work till like, you know, so during Mulan, you know, it was tough for me, because I think vocally the requirements were tough, and my voice could do it for sure. It was doing it and reworked and stuff, but like the times that it wouldn't do it would make me go like, oh my god, you know. And so I think the perfectionism thing comes in there, because if it doesn't happen, I'm like, what's wrong, why can't you do it? Mm-hmm. And I think so it's sometimes that is hard to sustain, being like on it all the time. But I do listen to, I think you know this, like a lot of motivational talks and stuff. And Les Brown, he always says this, that I'll like, you know, you shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you land among the stars. So that is like something that, you know, so if I'm going in, I think you have to commit. My mom always says this as well. She was just like, you know, if you're going to do anything, just put your best foot forward. So I think that's sort of been, embedded in me. You run into problems with it, but more than often it serves you better than not. You know what I mean? Because I think people also love effort and work ethic and a person that like tries and stuff like that. I know, like, if I see that, even because I teach and stuff, and you know, it's not like they don't need to be perfect, and that's the thing that I have to take on board. It's never that they're perfect. Mm-hmm. What you're attracted to is the fight, the bite, the yeah. passion, the, you know, that thing that makes you feel something. So I don't know. I mean, I try to manage it. I try to have a lot more self-love or practice that. You know, it's art, and at some point it can be messy when you're trying to get your goal, or even for, not even in art, everything else. You know, athletes are the same. If you have to really run towards whatever you're going for.
I mean, I was saying to Warren earlier, I think you have one of the strongest work and practice ethics of anyone I've worked with.
It's too much. Sometimes it's overdone. Oh my god, I'm on holiday and I'm like blowing straws and blowing bubbles. And so that's me. Yeah,
it's but also a lot. You seem to have. It's interesting. You're saying about, you know, you always assume that it is possible because you have such an open mentality to learning and to going down what I call the rabbit hole and finding out what's at the other end of it. Yeah. Like, you're very open to that. There doesn't seem to be fear that stops you exploring something.
Right. Yeah.
There's never fear of, well, but what if I lose this tone in the pursuit of another? Like, you're the evolution of your vocal qualities has been beautifully organic because you're never kind of going, no, I just want to stay here, just let me stay here.
Right. Open to.
Okay. And you're also incredibly self-motivated, which I wonder if you think, does that come from coming here alone?
Yeah, I do wonder about that sometimes as well. It's interesting you raise it because, like, because now it's been, I guess, 20 years and I still feel like a push, but like, I just, now it's like, I feel like I'm more choosy to what I do, but there's definitely still this, like, I don't know what it is, like an energy. It's like a bite. Like, I want to do this. I want to achieve this. From young, I guess. I don't know if it's that move that made me do that or like now it's just habit. Mm. So because my habit is to push until I achieve the thing that I want. Mm. I don't know. I don't know exactly what is keeping me going like that. But I'm grateful that it's there, you know, and that I still am enjoying it. But I think sometimes the part, and to go back to even what you're saying, Oren, is like, I need to be careful because then the joy comes out if you're fighting all the time. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of, I think sometimes what I experienced on Mulan was that, like, as amazing and like there were some highs for me in the show that I loved. And like, I, looking back on it, like, I adore it. I adore that we got to do these award shows. I adore the things that I sang, that my voice was doing those things. And then there's also this other part, which I guess people don't really know, because you won't know when the curtains come up, we're all glamored up. There's this other side that is hard, is very lonely, is very tough. And at that point, I'm intentionally in my habit going to these motivational talks to help me to continue. Mm-hmm. Because I think it may appear that I'm like, I'm always on the thing, but actually sometimes I think it comes out of fear, my drive to almost like, not fear to fail, but like fear to not be excellent at like what I think I should be. So it should be excellent in the show. So I have to come and see you and have to have all these lessons. I have to make sure that it's, or if it's the audition, I need to be able to present the right thing and it has to be brilliant. So I have to do all these lessons to make sure that how it doesn't mishap when I'm Do you see what I mean? So like sometimes it's not always, I don't think for me, out of a positive thing that I'm going to be brave and I'm just working hard and I love it. It's sometimes it's like, I'm afraid because I know when the 5, 6, 7, 8 comes and the lights are there and the action and the audience and you have to open your mouth and it has to be there. And that pressure, I'm like, so I need to be as best prepared for it. So I think before when I was a kid, I think it was just happening. It wasn't really, I was just running. And now sometimes it's like, are you sure you're ready? How can you make yourself as ready as possible? So that you can at least try and feel as comfortable as possible versus before.
What would happen if it went wrong?
I was just
going to say that. Yeah, nothing. That's the thing. Well, actually, I think internally it sometimes affects me. Because I remember I was in rehearsal and one time things didn't go right. And, you know, and I think that stuff, you do hold on to it. But then I know it pushed me to get the rest of the stuff. So because of that experience, a bunch of other amazing things happened. And so that's, it's a good question because I feel like I'm definitely feeling a different place now to like maybe a year ago. I don't know if that's just because I'm not having to do the thing every day. But if it happens, if you went wrong, you go wrong. That's the thing. And that's what I'm trying to learn and to enjoy. Like even if I'm taking like a dance class and stuff, that's the other thing. So in dance, which I think is different from the acting discipline and the singing discipline, there is a strive for perfection. Ballet, when you're taking those things, it's so strict. And I was also in a hip hop company when I was at Sylvia's. So year 10 and 11, I was in this hip hop company and they were all older than me. So I was like the youngest one. But they let me in because I used to take their classes outside of their company. And I put my hat like down to them. They literally, Cisco Gomez and Kimberly Taylor, like fantastic. They were trained me and I'm so grateful to them but it was hard. It was hard. Like, you know, you're having to be so like a dart, you know, darts, like, and it's the bullseye. That's what I think in the entertainment industry or like as performers, that's what I feel is sometimes different to like athletes. They're amazing. And like, for instance, like a footballer, yes, they want to score the goal, but if they don't score the goal, that's okay. That's part of the game. Boom, boom, boom. If we put the big note at the end of the defying gravity as the goal, it has to be scored every night. Mm-hmm. Every single night. It has to be, because the second that you don't score it, what's wrong with them? Yeah. They're busted, or you know what I mean? Like, and so you have to really hit it. So I think that part of things, I think really that discipline, and probably because I trained in it a lot, and even now teaching it, there is that sort of discipline, but then it flips sometimes to the other side of you want it to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to singing and stuff, I feel like you can make sounds that are not perfect, but it is authentic and it is beautiful and it's the right thing for that moment, and that's okay, and it's brilliant. And then when you get to acting, I remember I was doing a lot of acting classes in the pandemic, and it's like the reverse. They don't want anything perfect. They don't want anything showed. You can't place this here. You don't think about that. What you're thinking about is this thing. And what we want is, I just want to see the mess. And in dance, sometimes you clean up all of it. You just, and you look in the mirror. You know, we work with mirrors a lot. So you're always striving for the matching arm of this person, the person. Okay, our arms are there. And then our arms are there, perfect. And then the head and the chin is to that detail. Do you know what I mean? So, and then you put that into, I think sometimes you walk with that.
So as a teacher, do you think it's possible to teach dance and maintain a healthy perspective on that perfection? I'm interested because you're now going at it from the other end. You're now at the front of the class. Do you feel that you need to make a change in how it's taught? Do you feel that it's possible to make a change?
You know, even like my friend Cisco, the one who taught me, you know, like even I think as we go along, like even his methods of teaching have changed. He's still strict, but but then there's also a lot of like love. And I think that I think you know, some people probably manage this better than others, but I think you have to have a certain amount of hold on them or on students or whoever is taking the class, because the good thing about the fair-based sort of training in some way, or the fire training, where there is like that heat, breeds results, because you do something, the students will do something that they didn't think that they could do. So you could get that result out of them. And then I think on the other side, you just have to have like, as soon as the class finishes, know that it's, they can be comfortable around you or loving with you or that kind of stuff, you know, so that there's a balance. In terms of if I think I could change it, not particularly, because I think it's so widespread. And I also feel that like a lot of the people that I look up to, their training may have been very, very tough. Yeah. Like super tough. But when I see them on the stage, I'm like, I want to be like them. So I can't say, you know, but I can only do, I guess, what I'll do, which is I try and have like a balance of like, you know, you do have to push them, because if they don't feel the toughness of it, the other part is when they get into the industry, then they're not aware of what circumstances they can come into. And then I think it also just helps them to be a bit more on the ball, a little bit on their toes, mm-hmm. which I feel like we all are when we get into a room, because we've seen how different things happen. And then you try and support them as much as you can, or at least let them know that the toughness is coming from a place where we want them to succeed. You know, as long as I think those sort of lines are made clear or sort of or those are givens, then I think it's good.
It's really interesting, because I think that's quite different from my experience of coaching.
Yeah.
I'm sitting and thinking, could I coach with that? Yeah. I think we are always looking for excellence. We're always searching for the most and the best that your voice can produce. I genuinely think it's counterproductive in the singing realm.
I think so too, yeah.
And it's interesting to me that the two disciplines should be so different, because we're still talking about the body. We're still talking about
muscles. You're right.
But I think we're fundamentally using the body differently. Yeah. I think with dance, there is a greater sense of precision and control over everything. Whereas with singing, if we had that level of control and tension, I think we'd lose a lot of what we want from the voice, because we're introducing more constraint. I think singing is more freeing. I mean, obviously dance is very freeing.
Yeah.
But in a very different way.
Yeah.
What's your experience of it within your physical experience?
Singing, I think for a lot of people who probably come from the dance side, I've heard this as well. I would say it sometimes is a very vulnerable place.
Mm.
That is powerful, but it's also, on the flip side, quite scary to sometimes open up. But I have experienced that moment where I was doing In the Heights. I really loved that show, and I was covering a part. And I remember going on stage, and this part had to sing more, and there was like this rap section. And you stand on this chair, and you like, you sort of like go out to the audience like with your hand, and you're like rapping this thing, and the rap is like amazing. And I'm like, I'm not a rapper. So I was like, I need to get this together, because these people are looking at me thinking that I can rap these words. And I remember feeling, it was almost like, say my part had these like little pretty wings, like this was like the part that I would do. And that's, I had a role, but I covered another role. And when I got into that role, it was like, the wings just went out, and it was amazing. And I've definitely, like through Mulan, I felt lots of times where it just felt like free. It's almost like you're like soaring. You just, the thing opens up and you're there, and it's like this amazing experience. But then I think with dance, it's different, where it's almost like, for me, the music is there and you're just in. And I remember I spoke to one of my friends recently, and he said, what do you think about when you're dancing? And I was like, this sounds so corny, but it's like what Billy Elliot said. It's like, you know, he's like, I suppose it's like forgetting, losing who you are, right? The whole lyrics, and he's like, electricity. You're just in. I don't, I this, to some point you don't really think. At some point you might be like, oh gosh, I hope I hit this step correctly. Boom. Okay, that's great. Now it's done and I'm going. But I was going to say that I think it's different for teaching singing and dance. I mean, mostly you would be working one-on-one.
Yes.
Right? So we usually work, I'm working with like a group of like 20 or 25, sometimes a lot bigger. Mm. And then the idea is to get that whole mass moving in the same direction, in the same way, with all the dynamics, and I want to see it correctly. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you're just like, and then there's, you know, usually some classes are brilliant and you have people that have the mindset of like, we're here to work, boom, 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 boom. And I see it even like, you know, because I teach at a college. So you have different energies for every group. It's so interesting. You're teaching the same thing to each group. And one group can come in and the class is like on fire. It's like fireworks and everything. And it's just like soaring. You're just like, oh, this is a breeze. You get to the next class and you're like, why does it look like this? Like, what's happening? Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, what's going on? And you see that and you're like, it's a bit different. Because I feel like if you were, like, because both of you all have worked with me, if you were strict with me, like, while I was singing and stuff, I'd be like, this is too much. Yeah. It's too much because you have to, it's almost like it's the reverse of that. You're always having to let go of everything for it to, like, open up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and I do feel like dances can be very emotional as well. But I think with singing, there is something that is like tied to like your voice, like the thing of the voice, like that, like emotion. So if you're, I don't know, like if you have to sing this high note, you know, when you guys say cry or whatever, like that stuff, like you can't be tense. So I think it's very different. Like the mind work is so helpful in the singing realm. But I think with dance, you know, I think it's how it's passed down from generations, you know, like, so my mentor, Cisco, you know, the training that he had and who he worked under, you know, they're tough. And I look at that person and I think that they're amazing. And I know he trained under Brian Friedman, and Brian is, you know, fantastic. Mm-hmm. But the people that trained Brian, again, everybody is like, you know, and as you go up the ladder, they're probably stricter as you, you know what I mean? Like, because they're now, everybody is in the modern day, it's like, you know, you can't say this. And we have the pronouns and we have the this and the this and all these different things that are happening now where people are taking so much more care. You have to be so much more careful. But back in the day, get it together.
Yeah.
Your cut. Mm. You know, I remember seeing one time we were in company rehearsals and we're supposed to remember these routines. And one girl didn't. And he was just like, you need to go. You need to leave. We saw her pick up a bag and she left the rehearsal and we were just like,
whoa. Wow.
But what does that do, one, to the person in some way? So there's the negative side, right? Mm. Where, how does that affect the person?
Mm.
But the teaching part of it is that now they have a choice. Will they do that to themselves again? Because everybody else knew the routines, right? Mm. And then for the rest of us, it's like, make sure you guys,
you're on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now when I'm teaching, I have that sort of instilled, not that I do that, but I tell them, this is how we work. We're going to do this routine this week, next routine that week. Sorry, the same routine next week. And then I want to see it done by the third week. We have like 3 weeks, you know? And so by that expectation, but that's coming from the generation before, you know what I mean? So it's like, you kind of pass down what you get taught, whether sometimes it's the right way or the wrong way. And
I think it is possible to chase excellence and build in some understanding. So the first thing I'm thinking in that situation is we need to have a conversation with that person and say, why has this not been learned?
Right, yeah.
Is there something we can do to support you with it? Because maybe you learn in a different way or whatever. Now, if that is fruitless, then of course we have to say, I'm sorry, this isn't working, you know. But I think that's the difference, isn't it? Is actually making the connection and finding out why it's going wrong.
Why it's happening,
which maybe didn't happen before, but is definitely happening a lot more. And is why I encourage all the performers I work with, to go and have a conversation if they're struggling. Like,
yeah.
Go and talk to your company manager. Go. It's super scary to do, but actually now it's becoming something that companies really value, because then they can help and then they end up with a better company and a better performance.
Yeah. You know? So that's the thing. I think we're all heading in a better direction than previously, because I think in the dance world, some things sometimes have been said that are like, you know, it's just, yeah.
It's not okay.
Yeah. And even in theatre and directing and all that stuff, it's like, yeah.
We didn't actually do a, you know, what happens after Sylvia Young?
Like, yes, how yes, let's go back. Edit all that out.
Yeah,
from before.
Start again.
Just, yeah. Just to fill in the blanks.
So, Sylvia Young happens. I finished Sylvia Young, loved it. It was brilliant. Then I got into a band. It was two boys, two girls, out of Sylvia Young. So they had like their own band. And that, I think I was in it for a year. And at the time I had gotten into Lanes, but I decided not to go because I wanted to do the band. And then I was like, oh, I don't think this is like really working for me. I feel like I want to get like an education or something. So I went and did 2 years of graphic design instead of continuing on and performing. But while I was doing that, I was on tour with an artist, because the course was only 3 days a week, but it was a full-time course. So we did 3 days, and then I would go to, I remember one time we were in Brazil, which was amazing. And then I was at like these different festivals in town, like V-Fest and all these different things we were performing. And then I got a message from, I think her name was Jamie. She was working for this agency, and she said, what do you think about going into theater again? And I had sort of taken a step away from theater because I was doing like a lot of commercial work, and I was kind of like, I started assisting, sometimes choreographing even. And I was assisting Cisco and, you know, helping out there. So then I went to audition for In the Heights. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, you know, I don't know about this, but I loved it. It was brilliant. And then I got into In the Heights. And then from then on, I was like, this is it. Like, I love this. Because you get to dance, you get to sing, you get to act, you're expressing through all the channels, which was amazing. And then after that, it started to roll from there, because then I got to do some films. Heights was Lynn, so that's kind of tied over into Hamilton. I feel like I've done a few films that Lynn has been attached to, not by like on purpose, but it just kind of worked out that way. So I was in Poppins while I was there with when he was there, and then we were going into Hamilton. So he knew that I was going into Hamilton before I even said anything to him, which was interesting because he was on set and he was like, yeah, I know. And I was like, how do you know that I'm doing this? It was coming up, like, you know. And he was like, yeah, he'd seen, you know, there were a couple of us. So and so I've sort of been in the theater space quite a bit, and then I would take some time out, and then I might end up doing a bit of commercial stuff. And then, yeah. And then I got into Mulan after the pandemic.
Moulin Rouge.
Yeah. Not Mulan. Like, you know, the Disney film. Moulin Rouge. And yeah. And then here we are, really. I think that's kind of...
Something strikes me here. All the way through this conversation, you speak with great passion about dancing and singing. Yeah. Not at any point have you mentioned audience.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I think that's quite interesting. Like, a lot of people I speak to were like, yeah, you know, I did my first Amdram thing, and okay, I just loved being in front of that audience. You know,
That's interesting. Yeah,
it just makes me...
I didn't even think about that.
...wonder what the driving... I mean, clearly this was in you, right, like, from the start.
Yeah.
Is it the doing it more than the performing it for
you? I think
you?
So, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think there's definitely something about, like, for me, being on stage, which is, like, I know that something comes alive, like as a switch or something. You know, like if I have to be on, it's like, and be there, boom. And I do love the audience and stuff, but yeah, I think, and maybe that's why I train so much and I love that side of stuff, because to me it's like, I think the audience and stuff, yes, brilliant, but it's the art for me comes first, the art and the craft of it. So I really enjoy creating things as well, and doing like my own videos and working in studios and things like that. So of course I love performing, but also I think I can be fulfilled if I collaborate with somebody, one person in a room, or if we have a great singing lesson and we, you know, we're doing the, or we achieve something. Yeah. And I think that the audience, they always come on board like last kind of thing. I feel it's not like that. I really think about that. I think if I can do the best that I can do, then that's going to be great. And I think the other thing is, I always feel like, you know, you just want to be able to move whoever it is.
Does it change anything for you?
If the audience is there.
They say that the brain doesn't necessarily know the difference between performance and rehearsal if you teach it performance. So
yeah.
Do you feel
that there's a difference?
That something changes? Does the audience change what you do?
I think it gives you that extra adrenaline for sure. I think, and especially even with things when it comes to like high singing and stuff, sometimes actually being in that space where you're like, it's fight or flight. because everybody watching you, you know, and then suddenly the body just, it's intelligent. It's on its own. It has, so it will do the extra thing. We were doing the Olivier's, and I remember like we're behind the things are about to open like this, and it's four of us, and we're like, so I'm in this pose like this, and I'm like, oh my Jesus, like I just hope that I hit this note, because this is going on camera. This is like all of the best performers are in this room. I was like, it's, you know, it's fine if in a show, you know, it's not exactly, but this one, this is it. And we had done that like maybe four times for the day, because we got there early in the morning, and we had to do like a tech run, a dress run, and then like another dress run. So I'm now like, oh my gosh. And this is the last day of the week. So we've done eight shows, and now we're doing this performance. And then, you know, you have another eight shows to go the next week, because there's no break. So you're just like, ugh. And I remember the things open, and the audience were just like, they just went wild. Like, and we were sort of like in silhouettes or whatever. And instantly, like all the nervous, like it just left. I don't know how it left. And I remember coming down, and then it was just like, it was just free. Like, I was like, let's go. That's probably one of the most confident times I felt, probably. Or like, it was, I remember we all came off and we were like, that was so much fun. Like all the three girls, we were like, it's amazing. So yeah, I think that the audience can definitely lift and inspire, and, you know, it makes it worth it.
There's a, yeah, talking, going back to high notes and things, I think sometimes in the rehearsal room, in the practice room, actually sometimes the stakes are not high enough to warrant that sound. And
this
so
is
it feels
yeah.
really alien and a bit like, really, am I going to make that sound?
And space as well.
And space, yeah. Right? And then suddenly, actually you're on stage and there's an audience out there. And it has to be right. And suddenly the stakes are in exactly the right place. And as you say, the body is so intelligent. Now this makes sense.
Yeah. It's really weird. Because, for instance, like Chandelier, for instance, you know, like in the show, it's sometimes scary. It's like, that's actually probably easier in actuality than it is like in a studio or like in a room.
Yeah.
Sing the note. You're like, this is like, it's just at the top of that, you know, how should you even like get onto the, you know, like, whereas you're in the show and you're moving around or whatever, and you know, like, that there's, you're playing it that way, so like the audience is so big, it's up and everything, and you're, you know, so already your body sorts of just does that. So yeah, I think that audio, it definitely changes how things go, but I guess the strive is to be able to do it on demand, in a small studio, on a mic, or whatever it is, you know.
So you've come sort of full circle a little bit, because you started off performing,
yeah.
Then went into teaching, a little bit of choreography in between, and now into producing your own videos, short form that is encompasses all of those skills.
Yeah.
Tell me about Jump.
Jump is a video that I just did, and it's a dance-based video, which I think is going to be part one of possibly quite a few different parts, which I kind of want to join up together. Hopefully, maybe make a short film, maybe a pilot, if somebody wants to invest or something, you know, to just... Yes, anybody. Because, no, I think what I love being in the films and different things like that. And I felt like I wanted to kind of be at the helm of it and see what that was like. And what was fun about it is I was directing and then choreographing it and then it being in it. And I love sort of getting to sort of hop around even on the day. And we had a lot of fun. We laughed a lot. And that's the part where I think, which kind of goes back even to what we were saying before. It's like if you can have fun on the thing, that really makes it all worthwhile. So I was talking to some of the dancers and they said, you know, thank you so much for like having us. Like we had such a great time and experience and stuff like that. So yeah. And then to see the response, you kind of go, shoot, like, that's it. Like, that's what I want. That's how I want to feel, at least, you know, that you can make your own stuff that is, I think, true to me. It's true that I understand what's happening. And then it has like an impact. It's impactful for me, but it's also impactful for people that are watching it. And just to say, like, what happens in Jump is basically there's an audition happening. And I'm playing this character who we don't know their name yet. But basically the girls dance and then the boys dance, and then he gets cut, and then the video kind of ends there, saying like to be continued. But the thing is, the character is actually doing an amazing job. They're, you know, able to hit all the steps, and they're correct with everything and whatever, and they're actually central. And I remember some people, when they saw it, they were like, why did you get, like, that's not true, like, that's not it. And I'm like, but that's the industry. It's like, it actually doesn't, you know. So I think in some ways, like, I guess it was like maybe a comment on sometimes how things go.
I was with some people on Saturday morning just after you'd released it.
Oh, yeah.
And who had seen it. And a couple were like, actually, that really brought a tear to my eye, because that's real.
That's real. Yeah. It's so hard. And then you know, so for that character, you know, and in the reality is like, you go away and you're like, why? What happened? Like, I don't understand. There was no feedback. It's just thank you.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You all know. That's what happened. Because, yeah. So, and you just, you wonder. Yeah, sorry.
So is that the idea behind this sort of series then, is to comment on things that happen in this industry?
Maybe. I think in this first part, there is probably a comment on it.
Yeah.
Please don't nobody be upset with me for that. But, you know, I just think, there is that. Yeah, it's a real thing.
It's a reflection of, not necessarily a comment on, but, you know.
And then I think, but I just think it's, what I hope to sort of do is to be like, just continue on, just keep pushing. Because if you do, I think the right thing will come for you. That's kind of, I think, what I would like to say in the next coming things. But I think in isolation, it is kind of like a comment to say, this is what happens. And it's very hard, but it's actually nothing to do with sometimes the what you're doing, you know, is to do with, you know. And I've been on panels with like different casting teams or whatever, and I've sat in and listened to different things, and, you know, it's not always the person who is the most talented or right for, you know, it's just like who's right for the puzzle, you know, that they and that's right, that's going to serve the thing. And I think it's hard. It's very hard for performers, you know, because you're striving, and then, like, I guess I think there's space for everybody, but it's not always that there's space in that particular thing or in that particular thing, and then,
or,
you know,
or in this moment.
In this moment, yeah. So it's tricky.
Hang in there.
In this book is a question written by the previous guest And
I have to answer.
You have to answer the question. We've also not seen the question. Okay, this is actually a fantastic question for you in particular.
Oh, God.
It's really good. If you could have made one change of direction in your career trajectory, what would it have been and when would you have made it?
Wow.
If I went to college, you know, if that would have helped me get in the rooms for things better, like, because I, for a while, until I did Hamilton, it was like, Hamilton became like the ace card for me, where they would be like, oh, he's been in Hamilton, great, we'll get him in the room now. But before that, it was like, who are you? What have you done? And at this point, I was doing, you know, really good stuff, but it just, for casting directors and stuff, they were like, he can't be seen for a role, or he can't be seen for anything. So sometimes I think about that, but the reality of it is like, you know, I think I'm grateful for where I'm at presently and the things that I've done. And it had to happen that way. That's how I feel. So I wouldn't change anything. And actually, when I was younger, I wanted to go to Royal Ballet because I trained on a Saturday there while I was at Sylvia's. And I did, and so I was getting like hip hop.
It wasn't hard enough. Yeah,
I know, right? Just doing this. I mean, guys, it's me. I'm always doing the most. I was doing the hip hop company, training with adults at Sylvia's, and then you're Royal on a Saturday. Brilliant. And I remember I said to my mom, we actually argued about it because I was like, you know, I think I want to go and do that. I don't have the turnout to be a ballet dancer. I don't have the facility. I'm too short. I'm too this, I'm too that. Like, I remember my teacher, he loved me, the ballet teacher at Royal. He was like, I just don't think that this is, it's not the direction, you know, because there were others in the class who, their facilities were incredible. But I could move with them and stuff. But when you zoom into like my feet, the point is not correct. The turnout's not there. So, and I'm so happy that I stayed at Sylvia's. I'm so happy that I did, you know, I did the graphic design course, for instance, you know. So I would say I'm going with it as it comes, and I don't think I would change anything, because getting to do Moulin Rouge and stuff like that was amazing. I feel like it was like I want to say amalgamation, like the pulling of like everything from before. Like I was always training my voice during Hamilton, doing the most for no reason because I'm in the ensemble, you know, nobody was hearing me, but backstage I was doing voice exercises and you know, and then cut to a couple of years later, now you have to do the thing and you're at the top of your range, so here we go, you know. So it's always been, so I feel like I'm on the journey, and I'm always trying to put the best foot forward at each point, so wherever that lands me,
you are, that's it. Ever the sum of your parts,
yeah,
so far.
Yeah. So
that's why I love these stories, because I think we see from where you are now that this moment is the sum of all the parts that have come so far. It's really fantastic. It's really cool. Thank you.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. Could you write a question for our next
guest, gosh, yeah.
Thank you so much for watching our episode today. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe so that you won't miss an episode in the future.
If you currently are or have been affected by any of the topics discussed in this episode, please see the show notes below for some helpful resources.